Matthew chapter 11, if you found it and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew 11, verse number 25, the Bible says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Why don't we come back and read verse number 28 together, okay? Verse number 28, let's read it slow. We're not in a hurry, okay? Let it sink in a little bit. Matthew 11, verse number 28. You ready? All together now. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's read it again. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many here more than once have used that verse as a solemn fortitude? To be able to retreat from the things of the world and to be able to hide, as Psalm 91 tells us, in the secret place under the wings of the Almighty. I'm so thankful for verses like this. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to preach for a little while this morning on the subject matter on He's Concerned About You. He's concerned about you. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through His shed blood that we come to you this morning and have access before the throne of God. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And Lord, I'm thankful that you care about us. I'm thankful that you bid us come unto you. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage some souls and some hearts today. And Lord, if there's one here that just doesn't know how much God cares for them, then Lord, I pray that they would realize that before this day is over with. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We sang a song a little while ago, "Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful?" We sang another song, "Does Jesus Care?" I almost foregone that song, however you want to say it, whatever the past tense is of that, and had Cassie come up and sing that, "Does Jesus Care?" because she sang it a few weeks ago for us. And then we sang, "God is so good, and I'm thankful for the Savior that we serve." I believe many times as we go throughout life, I want to encourage us today, because I believe so many times we truly fail to comprehend and understand exactly how wonderful and how much God really does care for us. Do you understand the Lord Jesus Christ being sent from heaven down here to this earth to be able to die on an old rugged cross for us, who was a sinless man, did not even have a sin nature, but yet allowed himself to be nailed to that cross and then to be able to be hung there on that cross before all spectators that desired to come and see? And there'd be one reason, one four-letter word we've said before on why Jesus did that, and it's simply because of the word love. And He cares for us. But as we go through life so many times, I want us to understand that the cares of this world many times overshadow the care that God has for each and every one of us as His children. The average parent, and may I say the parent that, yes, is in their right mind, would go to the lengths of trying to move heaven and earth to be able to take care of their children. We've heard of testimonies in the past of mothers with supernatural strength and being able to lift up cars enough to be able to get it off their children as they were pinned down there. And I think of what the care of for someone will allow us to be able to go to great lengths. But so many times we start looking at things in our lives and we get focused on that instead of the wonderful truth and the application and the principle throughout scriptures that there is a God in heaven that cares about us and is concerned about us. So concerned about us, we won't take the time to look at all the verses, but I'll share a few thoughts out of this passage of Scripture this morning. But He cares enough about us. The Bible says that the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's how much detail He puts into His concern for each and every one of us. He knows when there's something wrong. He knows when there's heartbreak that has taken place. He knows when there's physical ailment that's there that absolutely nobody else knows anything about. We can be assured that there's a God in heaven that knows everything there is to know about His children. David reminds us, as I preached several weeks ago out of Psalm 139, and we're talking about the very members that we have before there were yet any of them, God had them written down in a book. Do you know why that is? Because you matter to God. And I matter to God. I've heard of young people, I've heard of wives and husbands that in conversations, whether it be with parents or with children or with their spouse, that the words would be spoken that I don't even care about you, that you don't matter to me. And those are harsh words to say. But I want to remind people today that there is a God and you matter to Him. And He cares about you. And He's concerned with you. He knows exactly where you're at. And I know the biggest question when something like that is said on there's a God that's concerned for you, the question that comes back is, okay, then why this? And can I remind us, and then I'm going to share some principles that God helped me with this week out of Matthew 11. May I remind us that even Jesus, while He was hanging on that cross, dying for our sins, even God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, uttered the word, why? While He was on that cross. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And I had a preacher help me with this years ago. He said, you understand, it's not a question to ask why. He said, I'm sorry, it's not a sin to ask why. He said, as long as we're ready to receive the same answer that Jesus got, heaven was silent. Heaven was silent. And we come over here and we make statements and I understand, and may I say this? This message was on my heart long before yesterday morning. But I thought how fitting it is. And there's those that are sitting here this morning. There's those that are under the sound of my voice. That there are things in your heart and life, and you're sitting back and you're wondering, does anybody care? Or is anybody concerned about any of this? And it's real easy to step up and say, hey, you got a church family that loves you and is concerned. But when you're sitting there looking at the walls, can I remind you that God's concerned about you? And I want to share a few thoughts. We read these verses and I was so excited and I wanted to spend time on verse number 25 about how the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing Himself and He's praying actually, oh Father, Lord of heaven. And it's reminded me of 2 Corinthians that it's not always the high and the mighty that the Lord Jesus Christ chooses to reveal Himself to, but He says, I've revealed this unto the babes. And aren't you glad for the simple things and the simple ones that God chooses to reveal things to? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I don't have to have a PhD to be able to understand the love that God has for me. But then we read the next verse, and if you just read the first part of 27, it says, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. And we would read a couple statements like that and say, well, how can we even know God then? But then I'm thankful for the last verse. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I'm so thankful. Listen, there is a real God. And there is a God that you can know. And there is a God that is more than willing and able to reveal himself to you on a daily and an intimate basis. I'm thankful for that. And then he shows his concern about us starting in verse number 28. And I want to give you three simple thoughts as I read down through here and just some things that God helped me with that really God said this will be a help to the church. First of all, I want you to see the invitation that is given. The invitation that is given. He says in verse number 28, he says, come unto me. Now, I don't know if you've ever, from a prestigious event or not, I don't know if you've ever received what we would call a highfalutin invitation to go somewhere. I'm talking one that they probably sat down and they wrote it out in calligraphy. Not just typed it up or wrote it out with a Bic ink pen and said, hey, would you join us? I'm talking about an exquisite thing. I'm talking about where you walked in and you actually had to give your name at the beginning and they had to make sure that you were on the list to be able to get in there because of security purposes. I remember it would have been back probably in 15 or maybe early 16. That I got an invitation to one of the presidential primary debates. And so Miss Crystal and I received our invitation, and then I got a form that said, okay, fill this out for security purposes. All these presidential candidates were going to be there. And so we had to give our social security number, and we had to give our address and our license number, and we had to have everything all set, and they had to go through. When we showed up on the property, security's everywhere. We had to walk through. They had to check our IDs. They had to search us, make sure everything was all set to be able to get in. Man, I started feeling like I was someone important. An invitation was given. Some of you could probably have higher invitations than what I just made mention of there. But can I say there's nothing as high as what we see in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. May I say this was not presidential candidates. I've been mentioning to a few, there's a friend of mine that I know, I could text him this morning. He's down in New Jersey. It's actually a Baptist pastor down there that's stepped out of his church. He's running for governor of New Jersey. And someone asked me, said, do you know him? I said, sure do. Been to his church. I preach for him. I've been there. And I said, and he's actually getting some traction in New Jersey. And God's doing something down there. But I thought, okay, so we know the governor. All right, so you might know the president. You might know these high officials. And you might say, hey, I've got an invitation to go and sit down with them. Nothing compares to Matthew 11, 28. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and he is extending an invitation by simply saying, come unto me. Now I want you to see this. It is a personal invitation, isn't it? Not only is it personal, that is, it is extended to each and every one of us, but it is personal in the person we're invited to be able to come to. Now, you see, there's been many times, and many of you, like me, have probably walked in our Capitol down here. I've walked in our White House down in Washington, D.C., been able to take a tour, and be able to walk through there. You know something? It wasn't a personal invitation. It was an invitation to walk in, but I was able to meet with a staff member. I was able to meet with someone who's 4, 5, 6, 8, or 10 degrees down below them. It wasn't a personal invitation, But I thought when we come here to the Scriptures, it's a personal invitation that has been extended to me, but it's a personal invitation to be able to go personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't even say that you have to go to some other priest. He didn't even say you have to go to some other man. He said that you can come directly before the throne of God. He said, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of God. Now listen, that's not the outer court. That's not the inner court. That's into the Holy of Holies that the Lord Jesus Christ has extended a personal invitation for us to be able to meet with him. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. Not only did I see that it's a personal invitation, but I want you to see it's prioritized. You say, what do you mean prioritized? I want you to see who's invited. And I have a good feeling that it's going to be everybody that's here. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Can I ask you a question? And you don't even need to raise your hand. Just think about it in your heart. Can I tell you, there's times every one of us fit into that category. Every one of us, hey, listen, there's times that it seems that the load gets heavier than the day is long. It seems like we're just waiting. Hey, would it be a blessing for this day to be able to end just so that I can get some sleep, only to be able to go to bed and find out that sleep is escaping us? And then wouldn't you know it, an hour before you're supposed to get up and get going, that's when you fall asleep, isn't it? Aren't you thankful for this invitation that it's those of us that are weary and are heavy laden? That means if you're carrying a burden today that other people may know about or they may not know about, this invitation's for you. If you say, but Pastor, you don't know the condition that's upon my heart. You don't know what's going on in my marriage right now. You don't know what's going on with my kids right now. You don't know what's going on at my job, but it's just getting heavy right now. Then this invitation is for you. Because there is a God that is in heaven that is saying, come unto me. What an invitation. I've about come to the determination for us, there's no sweeter word than the Lord Jesus Christ saying, come. An open invitation. Can I say this? It's made a difference in so many people's lives throughout the Scriptures. We have it here in Matthew chapter 11 that Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We have John chapter 4, the woman at the well after she met Jesus. Bible says she left her water pot. She went down into the city and she looked at those in the city and said, come, see a man. Revelation closes out at the end of the book of Revelation. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Boy, what an invitation that has been extended to us. Can you imagine how it would be? How many of us would take advantage of it if Governor Sununu, I don't care what your politics are, but if the governor of the state said, listen, at any time you walk up and knock on my door, it's open, you can sit down. At any time. How many of us would take advantage of that? Man, how many of us, man, something's going wrong? And we want something changed, man, we'd walk in there, we'd tell them, that we'd tell the gatekeeper, I've got an open invitation, I'm going up to the second floor, to the corner office, there's a man in there, and I'm going knocking on his door, he's invited me. They'd probably get on the phone the first few times, hey, did you? Here's the name. Yeah, open invitation. I wonder if we've taken advantage of our invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand with this invitation that the only requirement here is that you're laboring and are heavy laden? You say, well, why is that? Well, those that aren't laboring and those that aren't heavy laden, they don't have need of going to Jesus. You see, even Jesus said that those that are whole, they need not a physician. If someone can do it all on their own, guess what? They're not asking for help. They're not asking for, they're not saying, hey, this is more than what I can handle. This is more than what I can bear. You may be sitting here this morning, everything fine on the outside. Man, you are a picture of perfection as you sit in church this morning. But on the inside, you're tore up. On the inside, your heart is so heavy that you can't barely stand up. Your eyes are so heavy from holding back tears and wanting to just to get alone somewhere and to be able to scream out and just let that go. And God is saying, listen, here's an open invitation to come unto Him, those that labor and are heavy laden. I want you to see this. We have the invitation. How many have ever received an invitation for something and you never used it? You never went. You never took advantage of the invitation. Well, I wrote down here, and here's what God started speaking to my heart about. I want you to see, second of all, not just the invitation, but I want you to see the investment. You say, what do you mean the investment? There's an investment on both sides of this invitation. There's an investment on both sides. You see, here's the investment from our side. He says here in verse number 29, you say, how much rest is this? He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. So he's saying, I'm going to invest. We need to take his yoke. And then we say, okay, what's his investment? He said at the end of verse number 28, he'll give us rest. You say, well, that just sounds like it's contradicting each other. If I'm supposed to take a yoke, how many understand what a yoke is? You ever seen a picture of two oxen? And they're yoked up together? I mean, this burden has been placed across their neck. I've found out this, and you can find this out simply by doing a little bit of research and study, that when they're trying to train a younger oxen, they actually team them up with a stronger oxen. And really, the younger oxen's not doing anything except for learning how to walk alongside and just to be in order and in row. And it's that stronger ox that's doing all the pulling and doing all the work. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, listen, you invest, I invest. You come and take my yoke, I'll give you rest. Now, this is completely opposite as far as what the world says. This is completely opposite saying, hey, you mean take a yoke and you get rest? But a yoke is a symbol of work and a symbol of labor. He never said to quit working. He never said to quit laboring. He never said to quit going forward. He said, but all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you come unto me, I'll give you rest. And you take my yoke upon you. Because he said in verse number 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I almost did this. I almost had a couple young men up here and had a 50-pound dumbbell. And I thought how simple of an explanation that was not describing the young men when I say dumbbell, okay? I'm talking about a separate dumbbell, okay? Not the young men as dumbbells. Let me clarify that. But I thought how simple of an explanation it would be that they could be standing there and they are laboring and heavy laden. That means they are weighed down. And the investment made, and I thought, what if I took that 50-pound dumbbell off their shoulder and had them put this piece of paper on their shoulder? Because what we do is as we get rid of the load that we are carrying and we have the load of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us, he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know why that is? So many of us are like this. I just remember this example from years ago that there was a young man walking down the street carrying a 50-pound sack of potatoes. And as he's walking down the street, he's got about another mile to be able to get home. He's carrying those potatoes home. And an old man with a pickup truck pulls off to the side. He said, son, he said, why don't you get in the back? He said, I'll give you a ride home. You've heard this, haven't you, Brother Jackson? Probably heard it from the same farmer up in Maine. And he says, jump in the back. That boy jumps up in the back. That farmer starts going down the road. He looks in his rearview mirror and here's that boy in the back sitting there, and he's still got the potatoes on his shoulder. That old man pulled off to the side and he said, "Son," he said, "why don't you put that sack of potatoes down?" He said, "Sir," he said, "it's enough for you to give me a ride home, but you don't have to carry my potatoes too." And I just thought, we chuckle at that, but I just thought on how many times that's exactly how we treat the Lord. We treat the Lord and say, "Lord, here's my soul, and it's enough for you to carry me to heaven for all of eternity. But Lord, you don't need all my heavy laden." And he's saying, "Hey, you come unto me, I'll make the investment in you. You make the investment in me." He said, "You come." And he said, "You take my yoke, I'll give you rest." Do you know that you can have rest even in the midst of turmoil and working? You know, there's many times these things that are heavy laden to us, these things that are weighing us down. Listen, there's probably no way this side of eternity that those things are going to be taken off us. There's probably no way, listen, some of those things that we're going to be able to get rid of. It may be things physically in our lives or some things with our marriage or some things with our children. It may take years to be able to work through some of those things. But I'll say this, when we transfer that load and we're yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He said, "You're just walking alongside of me, but that weight's been transferred over to him." And that's why he could say in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." There's an investment on both sides. The Lord is ready, willing, and able to give you rest for your souls. But you have to come unto him. You have to. See, we're always begging God and saying, "God, would you do something? You come to me," when God is saying, "I'm right here. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Cast your care upon him. He cares for us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Give it to God. He's concerned about you. He's concerned. The investment, he gives rest, we take the yoke. Boy, what a partnership. What a partnership. I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, I don't want to use it. I had a human illustration I was going to give right there. We get all the benefits of Christ doing all the work when we give it to him. Now listen, he doesn't say he's giving our bodies rest, does he? He says, "I'll give rest unto your souls." That's the inner turmoil. That's that warring and that battle that's going on. That's that unrest that is inside of us mentally and emotionally that we battle with on a daily basis. God is saying, "Listen, I'm able to rest that. I'm able to calm that." You say, "I don't know if he has the ability to do that." Hey, he can step out on the helm of a boat and say, "Peace be still," and those waves go as calm as glass. He can rest the weary soul. He can give rest to the turmoiled soul. You say, "Pastor, do you know what's going on inside of me today?" Listen, I don't. But I do know that there is a God that is inviting you to come to him. You take his yoke, he gives you rest. Then I want you to see, finally, we see this phrase down through here in verse number 29. I want you to see the instruction that he's concerned about us. He says in verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Have you ever imagined that you could learn something from Jesus? Now, when I read that phrase, he's saying, what should we learn? Why should we learn? He said the next phrase, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Do you know sometimes why we don't have rest in our souls and something we can learn from Jesus? It's just a good dose of humility. Humility. When he says, for I am meek, that means he's quiet, he's non-aggressive. But that word lowly in heart carries the meaning of humility in heart. Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us over in Philippians chapter number 2, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Do you know why it is? Can we just get very practical right now? Why it is that there's many times turmoil in our souls? Why it is that we continue to carry the load by ourselves? It just comes down to a 5-letter word. Pride. Pride. You know why? Because, Brother Jackson, we think we can do it. I've got this. What would it be if I went to Brother Hebert and I said, Brother Hebert, I need you to pray with me about this. Boy, that'd be showing weakness in my heart. That'd be showing weakness. What if I went to the Lord? Listen, I'm supposed to be this super Christian. And there's times that we don't even confess our sins to the Lord because we don't want Him to realize how bad we really are. Guess what? God already knows. God already knows how weak we are. God already knows how frail we are. God already knows where our weak spots of temptation are. And He's saying there's some instruction you need to have, and you need to learn some things of me, because He's meek and lowly in heart. I found out this. It was a while back. You know, you can't help someone that doesn't want help. Do y'all agree with that? You can't help someone who doesn't want help. There was a man walking out of the downstairs. I can't remember if it was at a church service or not, walking out of the downstairs, and there were some gloves that were down there. It was wintertime. And as he was walking out, I made mention to the man. I said, hey, I said, you need a good pair of gloves? I mean, there was a pair down there. I mean, any skier would have loved to have this pair of gloves. I mean, I'm talking they were thinsulated. I mean, they were heavy duty. They came halfway up your forearm. I mean, it was a good pair of gloves. And he's walking by. I said, do you need a pair of gloves? And he said, well, actually, I do. And I said, well, there's a pair right there. I said, why don't you just take those? He said, no, don't worry about it. I'll buy my own. I didn't ask him twice. You know what I picked up? Pride. Pride. Man was living in the woods somewhere, had his backpack, had everything except for a pair of gloves. No one else was around. And I'm saying, hey, you want a pair of gloves? Brand new, still hooked together. So go ahead, they're yours. No, I get it. I'll take care of myself. And I thought, you know what we do to Jesus sometimes? Boy, there's a need. And you know that you're heavy laden. You know there's things weighing your heart down. You know there's things in your family. You know you're crying out for someone to care and for someone to show some compassion on you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is reading this verse to you right now. Come unto me. Need a pair of gloves? It's all right, God, I got this. I got this. And we wonder why we get to the point of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Well, God, why didn't you help me with that situation? He's been offering with all of these situations, and we just haven't asked Him. We haven't come to Him. And then it's almost we get to a 911 situation. We're crying out to God. Two men here that pastored, one longer than I've been alive, another one almost as long as I've been alive. I guarantee you, over and over and over, they wish they could have looked at people and said, you know something? You should have taken care of that back there. I'm sure there's some family situations that they wish they could have looked at them parents and said, you know something? At 18, it's too late to start dealing with the rebellion. That should have been taken care of when they were three. That should have been working on all the way through. Why do we get to a 911 situation and say, all right, now we're crying unto God? Do you know how gracious God is? The invitation still stands at the 11th hour. The invitation is still there for us to call upon Him. He still says in Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Do you understand Jeremiah was preaching to a rebellious nation? Jeremiah had been told, I'm sending you forth, and they're not even going to listen to you. They're not even going to care about what you're saying. And God still conveyed the message in their hour of rebellion. Call unto me, and I'll hear thee. I'll answer thee. I'll show thee. And I'm thinking, what's it going to take for some people to finally get to the point of accepting the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ has extended to us? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can I ask you today, is your soul in turmoil? Now listen, there's some, you may be here this morning, and you're wondering why you can't get peace in your life. You're wondering why, hey, things may look to be going okay, but there's still something missing. Can I tell you this? That's what's missing is Jesus. And you haven't come unto Him yet for salvation. And your soul was in turmoil, and without accepting Christ, guess what? That soul will be in turmoil for all of eternity. And there's people that are looking for rest today for their souls. They've never been saved, never trusted Christ as their Savior. You know what Jesus is saying to you today? Come unto me. Come unto me. In fact, He said in another place, I love how the Scriptures all tie together. He said, all that cometh unto the Father, He'll in no wise cast out. Boy, I'm so thankful for that. So thankful. If you're not saved today, Jesus is saying the invitation's for you. It closes in Revelation 22, let him that is athirst come. Let him come. If your soul's in turmoil. For those of us that are saved today, I don't know what you may be carrying. There's several I pray for on a regular basis on certain situations that are in their lives. Pray for them. You know why? Because it's a burden I can't take off their shoulders. It's a burden I can't do anything about. I can't do anything about a husband walking away. I want to slap him. I can't do anything about a wife saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to church with the kids. I can't do anything about marriages splitting up. I want to. Wish they would have come before they already wrote the letter. There's some burdens I can't take care of. But I do know someone who can. And I want to remind us today, there's a God in heaven that's concerned about you. He's concerned about you. Can't do anything about a kid that's walking away. I can plead with them. I can preach the truth. I can quote the Bible. I can give it to them. Most of them know it. And they're just choosing to walk away. They're choosing to rebel. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray that God gets a hold of them and they yield to that invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You ever heard the statement, and I'll close with this, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, can you? You know what I can do this morning? To the best of my ability, filled with the Spirit of God, I can tell you there's a God that cares about you. I can tell you He's concerned. He loves you. He is more than willing to help you out with what you're going through and bring comfort to your souls. But you know what I can't do? I can't make you go to Him. I can't. That choice is yours. When you walk out those doors, you'll have the choice and the decision's been made whether you're going to go to the Lord or you're going to say, God, I got this. And you know what God's going to do? Okay. Okay. He'll let us try to carry it, won't he, Brother Mike? He'll let us try it. Then when we collapse under the pressure, I'm so thankful he's still gracious. Still gracious. God's concerned about you.